everyone. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us this week. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Small groups will be finishing up this week. We pray this semester of small groups has been a time of growth, connection, and freedom found in Jesus. We are already hearing of the amazing testimonies and the ways that God works in our lives through small groups. We hope to see you join us for a small group in the fall.
Hello, church family. It's that time of year again. We're going to have our clothing drive here at Only Believe for Serve Day in June. We are asking you to bring in your gently used clothing. If you can, wash them. We love to have them. This is the best way that I know how to serve our community. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we just ask that you go through your closets, spring clean a little, and bring them to the church. Come find me and I can tell you where to drop them off.
Come on out on Sunday, May 17th for our annual church picnic, immediately following our morning service. The church will be providing hamburgers and hot dogs, and we are just asking you and your family to bring a side dish to share. So stick around, grab a plate, and enjoy some food, connection, and fun time with your church family. We cannot wait to spend this afternoon with you.
Hey, church family, today I am bringing you a good news spotlight. This is from a praise card that was turned in by one of our congregation members, and it says, "This year was substantial for me. God has broke a stronghold off my life that I have been battling for over 17 years. So let this just be a reminder to you guys that God still heals, He still breaks chains, and He can do it for you too."
If you've decided to follow Jesus, then your next step is baptism. Baptism is a public declaration that your old life is gone and you're living new in Christ. It's through baptism that we share in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the transformation that He brings. If you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to watch you take this next step.
Hey, gentlemen, Pastor Tim here. I want to invite you to our next Brotherhood Breakfast happening on May 30th. This is a time where we just get together as guys, we talk about following Jesus, we encourage one another, and we eat some pretty good food, if I can be honest with you. So that's happening May 30th. But if you'd like more encouragement, fellowship, then just once every couple months, we have Brotherhood Locals. They happen in some of our closest communities. There's probably one in your community. If there's not, we'd love to get one started there. But that's just an added bonus that you can meet with these guys on a monthly basis to just encourage one another in our following of Jesus. If you'd like any information about our Brotherhood stuff, reach out to myself or Andrew Rogers. Hope to see you at the Brotherhood.
And if you have questions about events, groups, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Thank you, Caleb and Ava. Do they do a good job at keeping us informed? Amen. They're always so bright and cheery. I know, and they always try to make it like change their position so that it looks good for us, so that we're not bored with them. Makes sense. Stand to your feet if you would. I want you to go around this morning and I want you to do your best. I know this is going to be hard for some of you. I want you to find somebody that you haven't talked to this morning and shake their hand. I know for some of you, you're quite the talkers, but for others, you know, yes. Woo, Jimmy! I love you. Hey, thanks for last week. Catching that little girl. Holy, little boy, sorry. Oh my gosh. Oh, I know, and you caught him in the middle of that crowd. I know, and you did it. I love it. All right, let's go, teams. Back to your seats. Enough fellowship. You're supposed to fellowship, but not that much. I did start it. That's good. It's good to be in a body of believers. Amen. And I did that because I want to remind you that as a body of believers, Christ is our head. Amen. But in this body, that there is support, there is love, but there is also friction, struggle, aggravation, but there's accountability amongst the brother and sister of the Lord. Amen. And it's important that we build relationships within our church with one another and that we care for one another. We don't just wave on Sundays. We just don't see you and leave it. And then Sunday we let it go, but we actually care one for another. And at times that means that we pray for one another. At times that means that we might need to open our wallet and give to somebody outside of, even out of our own need, maybe that we need to do that. But loving for one another and fighting for one another is very important. Amen? Amen. All right. So as Pastor Tim said, I want to start today with a little bit of a testimony about Serve Week, because we really, really need all of you to participate in Serve Week, which is coming up on June 27th. But last year, I want to remind you that there was a lady that does not go to our church who heard about a free oil change. And so she signed up and went to Catahenrich Repair, where Jason and three or four other guys did some oil changes for the afternoon. And she came in to get free oil change, but she left with salvation and got a heart change. Amen? Isn't that awesome? It was so much more than she ever came in for that day, but she left with a true gift that could not be matched by any amount of money. Amen? All right, so we're going to finish up our I Am series today, but before we do, I want to be sure that we invite the Lord into this minute with us. Amen? Father, we come before you. Lord, we just humble ourselves here today. And God, I ask, Lord, that you would use me as your mouthpiece. Devil, I bind you from coming in any of my thought patterns, but God, that the Holy Spirit would execute that which he would determine to do today. I yield myself to you. And Father, I ask that you would give us ears to hear. Ears to hears, God, that blinders on our eyes of things that maybe we've heard a certain way or seen a certain way, Father, would be removed from our eyes today, and that we'd be able to see and hear, Father, according to the scripture. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so actually the one that we're talking about today, I am the bread of life, is actually the first I am statement that Jesus ever made. And so I'm going to just start right away through the get-go with John 6:35. And we're going to read just verse 35. It says, then Jesus declared. Remember, he's not saying it. He's not just mamble-jamble, any of that. He is declaring who he is and what he is in the believer's life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, to see that the bread of life is important, it makes sense that he would say, whoever comes to me is hungry, right? Bread satisfies, but it doesn't quench our thirst. So he must be talking about more than just, I am the bread, this thing you eat. Remember, he talked in metaphors of the time. But in order to know what he's talking about, we have to know what bread represented in that time, in that culture, back then. So bread was something, number one, that everyone needed. It was a staple. It was served at every single meal. In fact, the Bible says that as the apostles of the church and all the churches were built, that there were four things they were supposed to do. They were supposed to listen to the apostles' teaching, which came from Jesus, that they were regurgitating to everyone else. They were to have fellowship one with another. They were to break bread and eat or have communion one with another, which you and I are going to get a chance to do later this afternoon. And they were to pray with one another. So when we look at bread being a part of fellowship, they eat together. The breaking of bread, which is the actual Passover dinner or the dinner that he was showing his coming, blood, bread, the cross, all together. It was a place of fellowship, but it was a place of relationship. Bread was at the heart of a table. You'd come in on the table, there's a loaf of bread. I'm going to be real with you. I would have been in heaven back then. Because I'm that girl at Texas Roadhouse when they bring the rolls. I'm already full before my meal comes. I can just put my meal in the box. Because with those rolls, they come out, they're warm. The butter's like dripping off the edges, you know, that they rub on the top. But you can smell the yeast. And I always use the excuse, you shouldn't have one roll. You should have two. That way you can keep it even. Just saying, I'm a symmetrical girl, so don't eat in odd numbers, eat in even numbers. So if you cross the line and have three, you've got to have four. That's my rule. I'm just saying, if it was like that, I would be much larger than I am, amen? It was also a part of the story of the past. The Jewish people knew bread to be very significant because they were told, this is what you're supposed to do when you leave Egypt. And remember, if you were here on Good Friday, the bread that they took with them was unleavened bread because the bread did not have time to rise because they were exited from Egypt so quickly. And they weren't allowed to provide for themselves, but while in the desert, God rained down manna, bread, for them to eat. But this bread would spoil every single day. You couldn't keep it. You couldn't hoard it up and keep it. It would just be done away with. So bread was a symbol of provision. Provision, if you're taking notes. And it was essential to everyday life. Jesus was saying that I am that essential part of your life. I am the provision for everything that you have need of. Now keep in mind, he's not talking about earthly this life. What he's talking about here is spiritual life. He's the filler of everything that we need. Think of how bread makes you feel when you eat it. Okay, did you hear that? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know. Bread makes you entirely full. You wanna know why? Because when you put bread in any space, it absorbs what's around it and it becomes filling. That's who Jesus is in our life. You can put him in the darkest hole of my life. You can put him in my greatest weakness. And in that weakness, he comes in there and he begins to absorb everything that's around it and says, yeah, watch this. I'm gonna fill that space with me. And so that void that we feel in our lives that we can't just put our finger on, that's what God comes to fill. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in the meantime, in order to understand what Christ is really talking about, we have to go back a ways into our text in John, because he addresses a crowd of followers that the day before he had fed 5,000 men plus women and children. So we really don't know how many he fed, but if every man was married and carried 2.5 children, no, that's the actual normal family if you take families in marriage. So say you have 50 members of your church. I'll give you some math. If you have 50 members of your church, you can take 50 members times it times 2.5, and that's how many people you have attending, because the average family has 2.5 children. I don't know how they come up with that number. None of mine are half of a kid, but I have three, so I've overdone my limit. I'm not contributing anymore to the house of God. I already gave my 2.5. Some of you, thank you for the 7, the 9, and the 12 children that you've added. We all say thank you. It's great. You know, last month we had like 3 babies born. Instant membership. Damn. 3 new members added just last month alone. As soon as their name comes on the roster, they get their birth certificate, we fill them in there. It's beautiful. All right, let's go back. And so he used, I think it was the fishes and the loaves. So he fed over 10,000 plus people, we could be safe to say, with what was just in one boy's basket. So they saw this beautiful sign that Jesus had done. We often call it a miracle. Pastor Randy talked about miracles and signs, but these signs were leading to something greater. They weren't just a miracle. They were meant to show you and I something about his character, something about his nature, that he was more than what we needed. He could take our little and make it into much and feed and get done and accomplish what God needed to get done. So here's what it says. Let's go to John 6, 26 and 27. It said, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Now get this, they were looking for Jesus from the day before. They had ate and saw the sign. So they were following Jesus for what he could provide for them. But he was reminding them that you're looking at the wrong thing. You're seeing what I can physically provide for you and not looking at your spiritual detriment. You're not paying attention to what I'm really here for. All you want to do is follow me for what I can give you. The bigger picture is that Jesus just didn't want to be their daily provision in the natural. He didn't want to just meet their daily needs. He wanted to meet the eternal need that is inside of you and I. We find this in the scripture in Ecclesiastes, which I'll read to you later. But this brings a real reflection moment to you and I. Because they were looking for Jesus. But they were looking for him for the wrong reason. Are you and I looking for Jesus for the right reason? Or are we looking at him because of what he can give us in the natural? Because he can make our life easier. Because, you know, with God, all things are possible. Is that what we're doing? Are we looking for the healing instead of the healer? Come on. Are we seeking him for what he can provide? Are we looking for his provision instead of the provider? Because I'm going to be honest with you. This might hurt some of the faith movement people in here really, really bad. I don't serve Jesus just for what I can get from him. I serve him for what he is. And who he is. And if who he is as a provider, when I pray for that $5,000 that I can't live without, and I've got to have a new kitchen, or I've got to have a bigger house, or I've got to have a better car, when I'm looking at only the stuff that my Savior can provide, if he looks at me and says, that's not what you need, then I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I trust you with my life. And you know what will harm me, and you know what will bless me. You know my personality better than I do. You know what personality I put up in front of everybody else. But you search my inner heart, and you know what will break me. You know what I need to hear in order to do what I want to do. But I want far greater for you to provide what I have need of. I want to go through this situation or this trial. I'm not giving you a list of demands that I want you to do for me. I'm trusting you that when I ask you to come into this situation, like a piece of bread when I'm hungry, you're going to come into that hole and you're going to fill that space, and I'm going to be filled, and I'm going to trust your way and not my own. Is your perception of the way you look at Christ only what he can provide for you in the natural? Is it just because you need forgiveness of sins and you want to be sure you're going to heaven? But that's where it stops. You know, I don't want to sin. I'm really a good person. But, you know, this whole following Jesus thing, I don't know. I don't want to be weird. They call you all those Jesus freaks. Please call me a Jesus freak. Please tell me that I'm sold out. Please tell me that I'm weird. Please tell me that I'm on fire and that what's inside of me cannot be quenched. Please tell me that I'm nuts. Because they called Jesus nuts too. Thank God. Have you lost your mind and gone mad that you profess these things, saying you're the Messiah? And then in Acts, of course, they all get filled with the Spirit and they're like, oh, you people are just babbling. You're all drunk. Please call me a babbling, drunk Jesus freak. Woo! Now I'm living for the Lord and someone sees it. Amen. Oh. Let's go to verse 28 and 29 because the story gets a little thicker. It says, then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? In other words, they want Jesus. They want this eternal life. But what's he requiring? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. In other words, just believe in me. See, they were asking, these were people that knew Jewish law. So they were looking at a list of to-dos. They were looking for the religious requirements for them to receive this bread of life, this eternal place. How do we get there? Tell us what we need to do, and we'll do exactly that. And Jesus, in his simplest form, says, just believe in me. Did you hear that? Some of you can get set free right there. The act of you trying to do what you're doing to get to eternal life is not worth it. Stop trying and allow Christ to do for you what you could not do for yourself. He's already provided it. God sent Jesus, his son, to you and I to do the work for you. That means that you don't have the ability to transform into something good on your own. I know this is hard to hear, but this is really true. I'm telling you, I've tried to do everything on my own to get my mouth in control. I've tried to discipline myself. And I'm just telling you, the Bible tells me that you cannot control this tongue that's in here. But what he did tell me is that the Holy Spirit, if it's given to him, will help us control what's coming out. And when I put more of him inside of me, then the only thing that can come out is the goodness of God and the great things of God. So let me tell you, if you've got a problem and all your mouth does is dig up trash and spit it out on everybody, then all you have to do is dig up the word of God and put the goodness of him in here. And I promise you that what starts spewing is the goodness of God and not the trash that's inside of you. If you have a mouth problem, you just have a word problem. That's it. And you have to put more of Christ in your life so that that's what comes out of you. Lots of times things can run through your mind, but they don't have to come out of your mouth. You are not a trash spitter. You get that. And because you're having a rough day, it doesn't mean you spit on your entire family. It doesn't mean you spit on your coworkers. It doesn't mean you get a spout on your spouse when you come home. It means, Lord, on my way home, I'm going to give this to you. I'm not going to be worried about this. I'm giving it up. And you know what? Help me to control what's coming out of my mouth. Help me to keep my things stayed on you. The things above, not beneath. And not what I'm going through at my workplace. They were looking for something much different than what Jesus was saying, and all he had to do was work. Let's go to Philippians. We're going to take a little sidetrack out of our John for just a minute. The third chapter, the 7 through 9 verse. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it in the NIV, I thought. But I'm going to do that in the NLT, guys. Sorry, I think I have that wrote down wrong. It says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so I could gain Christ and become one with him. Watch this. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law or the list of regulations that these people that were following Jesus were asking for so they would make sure that they made it to heaven. It says, I become righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. So you get that if you and I couldn't earn or couldn't do better because we needed Christ, Christ was the one that did it for you and I. And it says in the scripture that in the beginning when we read in John 6:35, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those who come to me will not be hungry. They will not be hungry. Listen, you got to come and look and come for Christ. And this is what you get. It's not your work. It's his work. All you have to do is look for Jesus and come. Look for him and you won't be hungry. Come and you won't be thirsty. It's that simple. That void inside of you, that wrong place, that place that you keep failing over and over and over. Look to him. the author and the finisher of your faith, the one who, when you believe in him, that's how the situation gets better. That's how. Now let's go back to John, 30th chapter, or 30th verse, and we're going to read the next part of it. It says, so they ask him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. See, these Jewish people that had understood where the children of Israel came from, they were looking for God to do the same thing he had done before. Sometimes in our lives, we're looking for God to do the same thing in our life the same way he did it before. But his provision is not going to look the same as maybe it looked last time. So you start looking to the same source you looked at before to meet the need. When God says, I want to make sure that you know it was me that brought you out from this situation, so I'm not going to do it maybe the way I've done it before. I'm going to do it a different way. And you're going to have to be okay with that, because ultimately that's how you and I believe in Jesus. We're not believing in the way he's going to do it. What we know is ultimately he's bringing us out and bringing us through. And the way it is determined is when you put your trust in him. It might be shaky at times. I want to be honest with you. There's times that I might feel very uncomfortable where I'm at. But let me tell you something. If you're uncomfortable, you have to use your faith. If you're comfortable, you don't. Is that not true? So if you can trust in the way he's done it before, he might just be doing it a little different. Jesus was declaring that he was the true bread of life and that it wasn't going to be done the same way it was. And by the way, you thought Moses was your deliverer. He was the earthly deliverer. But the spiritual deliverer was God the Father. And that no man can take credit for that. Even Jesus was not saying that I've come to save you, but I'm being sent from my Father to you. And we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he saved his only begotten Son. Not to judge the world, but to come and save it. So what Jesus did was he said, I'm not sending down a perishable manna this time. I'm not sending something that every day you've got to use your faith for. I'm sending Jesus. He's going to come down from heaven. I'm going to wrap him in human flesh so that he looks like you. And he's going to show you the way. He's going to teach you the way. And by the way, this bread, once you receive it, you don't have to believe for it tomorrow. It's in you. It's in you because Jesus says, when I go, I'm asking my Father to send to you a comforter. He's going to be with you and in you. And then you're going to know. See, they were looking for Jesus. They didn't want Jesus to go away as the disciples. They wanted Jesus to stay so that he could be their comfort, so he could be the one. It's okay. Do this and do this. But you know what the Holy Spirit did when he came? The Holy Spirit could be anywhere, everywhere, all times, for all of us, for anywhere, for anything. Jesus was trapped by the earthly place he could walk. He could only walk with so many people at one time. He couldn't serve all your needs. He was doing his best to deal with 12 disciples, 11 disciples and one Judas. Think of it. He rebuked some of the disciples. He's like, get behind me, Satan. They were disciples. He called them Satan. He was frustrated at times. But imagine what his life would have looked like without the Holy Spirit here today for you and I. Listen, I need him hourly, daily, minute by minute. Jesus! What would happen if he was in Lima? It would take him at least 20 minutes to get here if he didn't speed. He probably doesn't speed, so maybe 25 or 30. Well, my problem could have already been over by then. My mouth could have already gotten out of control in 35 minutes. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that came and knows all things. So it's not this daily provision I go out and get. It's a constant provision that I'm in, that I walk with, that I live with, that I talk with, that I commune with, that I share with, that I have fellowship with, that I take communion with. He is the bread of life, my very existence. Actually, when the worship team started singing that song, I'm desperate for you. I am lost without you. That hunger that you feel. How many of you have had breakfast this morning? Okay, so there's a lot of people in here like me. I don't eat breakfast. I'm terrible at eating breakfast. I'm on the go and I get out the door. But I'm going to tell you right now, if some bread right now started to rise, I would feel my hunger. And you would too. Nothing's worse than a carry out here at the church when they start cooking all that food in Sunday service. We can't even keep your attention. You've got thoughts of spaghetti, steak, bread. Think of that hunger that you feel when you haven't ate. Those of you that have fasted one 24-hour period, a three-day period, a seven-day cycle, when you're so hungry, it's the only thing you can think about. This is you and I after Jesus. God, I think of you. I long for you. I desire to be filled by your word, to be filled by spending time with you. I feel void without him. Do you long for Jesus? Do you long for that bread of life? Or have you just created it to be something that you occasionally need? When you're so desperate, when you're spiraling in your emotions, when your anxiety is over the top, is that when you see you need Jesus? Because I'm bringing to the table that if you would use him in your daily dose, as your daily bread, that you might not be overcome with anxiety, that you might not spiral out in your emotions at that time of the month, for all of you ladies. No, I'm serious. Maybe you don't hear, you know, Randy and I, when we first got married, okay, we were about 5-6 months into this. We dated for a minute, about 2.5 years. We were done. We had to move our wedding date up by 6 months so we could stay holy. It was getting really hard. And my dad only let us see each other 4 hours a week. So you can imagine how hard that was. We'd made a lot of progress at 4 hours a week. Anyways, I'm just saying, sometimes you got to pull the trigger because it was time to get married. But he looked at me about 3 or 4 months in, and he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. He said, this got to stop. I said, what do you mean? He said, whatever this is, you got to get a hold of your emotions. Like, you are just on fire. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to do with them. I just let them out. I cry one day, I'm mad one day, I'm this the next day, and he's just watching the roller coaster like this. And he said, what I'm telling you is that you're mean to me at that time of month. And I said, oh, really? Come on, girls, you know it. You give yourself an allowance to be that way because it's that time. But I'm telling you that God didn't want you to be controlled by your emotions. He wanted you to be ruled by the Spirit. And so I said, I need your help because I don't know how to control this. I've just let them control me. I didn't know what to do. And so every month when I started feeling them overwhelming feelings, when I started feeling like being mean, I just go to him and say, you got to help me. And he would take authority over my emotions and command them to be calm. And that I would be able to see through the emotion in the midst of that struggle. Because I'm going to tell you, I could light the house on fire with my attitude. And I'm just going to go a step further. Men, you're in menopause. You know what that means? You're losing testosterone as you age. You know what that means? Your emotions aren't like this. They might be like this. And women, those of you going through menopause, for the women, you know what? This is a struggle. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is here to help you gauge it and guide it. And your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is your friend. Your spouse wants you to succeed going through these changes of life. We know changes of life are normal, or God would have never looked at Abraham and Sarah and said they were beyond their years. You're beyond your years. Are you under the curse? No, you're not. But let me tell you something. If you don't do something to grab a hold of those emotions, they will grab a hold of you and begin to rule your entire family and your entire life. And then you teach the next generation that you're allowed to act like this when you're going through menopause. You're allowed to act like this when you're going through a midlife crisis as a man. No, you're not. The Holy Spirit is our guide. And if we will submit ourselves to, this was not in my message. For some of you that might need this, there might be some ladies out there that are really struggling with struggle and the emotions. Give it to God, girls. I'm telling you, it's there, and He's willing and able to help you. And for those of you women that have never sensed menopause, thank you, Jesus, and I'm glad that you get to go through it without it. I'm a little jealous. Oh, see, that was my emotions guiding. Oops. I'm sorry. I'm so glad that's good for you. Oh, God's blessed you. See what I'm saying? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. Church, society is constantly searching to fill our heart's desire. But the desires that are in you from the world, they're not that. You're trying to fill it with the world. You're trying to fill it with money, relationships. Oh, everybody's looking for this perfect marriage these days. There is no perfect marriage. Did you see how I emotionally corrected that? There is no perfect marriage. A perfect marriage, the closest you can get is when two people become submitted fully to Christ and begin seeking Him with all of their heart, all of their might, and all of their soul. And even on a good day, you might arrive at about an 8. But you realize that your marriage is a reflection of what Christ is to the church. And that there's a responsibility on our marriages to work hard at allowing God to transform our hearts so that the world sees marriage as the true bride and groom of Christ, that they see unconditional love, that they see forgiveness, that they see walking one with another, that they see preferring one another, that they see the spirit of unity in a marriage. People are looking in all the wrong places. Alcohol, work, pornography addiction. By the way, ladies, don't mark that off. Pornography's on a rise among women like it never has been before. Don't allow anyone to tell you what you should be or should not be, sexually or sensually. God's defined it in the Bible. You be everything that He's made you to be, and that's fine. You don't have to be anything the world wants you to be. Nothing. Nothing like that. 70% increase in pornography amongst women because they're looking for affirmation in all the wrong places. You're beautiful just the way you are. Weed now become legalized in the United States. So weed helps us decompress, not have to think about our problems, takes away the anxiety. I agree, but Jesus is the answer above all things. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the replacer of that weed. I am the replacer of that addiction. I am the replacer of your need to get your worth from providing everything that your family needs and for 5 vacations and 5 cars and 3 colleges. I'm the provider. Let me help you so you don't destroy yourself. Friendships, gosh, food, bread. Bread with butter, that cinnamon butter with powdered sugar whipped in it. Wow, it's good. So you know they make Texas Roadhouse in the freezer section now. Yeah, You just have to let them rise in your own house. They look a little wonky. They're not quite as good as the ones at Texas Roadhouse, but they're pretty good. Food. We take comfort in the food that we eat. Why? Because we're looking for something to fill that God-shaped hole inside of us that no chocolate chip cookie can fill. No amount of chocolate ice cream at 9 o'clock can fill. It's only the bread of life. It's essential to you and I living that way. Jesus wants us to seek Him first, no matter how big your need, no matter how deep that desire to be wanted and to be needed. He sent His Son to fill that hole, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how perfect it comes, before your meal comes. You don't have to fill up on anything else. but Christ and Christ alone. He leaves us longing for nothing, church. I finish with this scripture, and I ask Pastor Kylan to prepare, because he's going to lead us in communion today. I read John 6:50, and it says, "Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh." Jesus on the cross for you and I. I ask you as you take communion today, as Pastor Kylan leads, is he truly the source and the essence of our existence? Or have we replaced him?
But before we take communion today, every Sunday at the end of our time together, we take a moment to provide a place for anybody that's here today that needs to know God in salvation. Message today, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Pastor Nicole was explaining different ways. We search so much to try to find fulfillment in here, that spiritual hunger that everybody has.
Everybody.
Look for it in all the wrong places. You'll never be truly satisfied. But today you have an opportunity to know God, the bread of life that brings a satisfaction that will never leave, a fulfillment that never goes away. It's a fulfillment of understanding life and true life today, but it's also then, well, it's eternal life that never stops. So, everybody, if you would stand this morning. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we get to the end of our Sunday services and you kind of start feeling, oh, it's time to go, and your mind starts to go somewhere else, start thinking about what you're about to do. But this time every Sunday is very important to us, because it may be the best moment for somebody here, the best moment of your life. That opportunity to experience Jesus as the bread of life and the only thing will ever satisfy. So if you would close your eyes with me just for a moment. And maybe that's you here today. You listened to today's message. It was a good message. And your heart was just maybe feeling unsatisfied with life. And maybe you have been wanted. You've searched for satisfaction in so many different things, and over again, you found yourself empty. You need to search for something else then. And maybe you've known about Jesus, but yet you have tried to be fulfilled in other ways. Today, right here, right now, is your opportunity to come to him. And we can come to him because he came to us. And he offers himself to us freely to partake of him in salvation. And that fulfillment of your life comes, first of all, in the forgiveness of your sins. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've partaken of in the things of this world, Jesus can and he will completely, 110%, no doubt about it, forgive you. So much that your sins and the remembrance of your sins is cast as far as the east as to the west. God himself will remember them no more. That's amazing. But if that's you today, and we'll just take a moment for this, and you need to know Jesus as the bread of life today, please raise your hand right now and let me see if there's anybody here. Thought I saw one hand go up. And by the way, when your hand goes up, the prayer team is going to come find you and just spend a couple moments with you. But if that's you, put your hand up. G- Jesus is the only one who can satisfy. Amen. 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 If you do not have a communion cup this morning, you can raise your hand right now and the ushers will help you out. But thank you for those that raised your hand this morning. The prayer team will find you, answer some questions for you, connect with you a little bit so we can continue to build a discipleship relationship with you. And that's so important. So if you have your cup with the elements, if you'll pull that out. So many stories in the Bible, metaphors that are given, the manna in the desert, Jesus feeding the 5,000, his proclamation, he's the bread of life. All of those things ultimately dovetail to this right here. There's a line that we find through the scriptures of so many things, and they get tied up in the elements that you're holding in your hand today. At the last moment before the betrayal of Jesus and his ultimate crucifixion, when Jesus went to fully explain to the disciples what was about to happen, he didn't give them an explanation. He didn't give them a 5-point sermon. He didn't tell a bunch of stories. He didn't give them an idea. He gave them a meal. The bread of life represented in the bread of partaking at the Last Supper. The cup representing his blood. He gave a meal because it was active participation with those there. We continue that today because he said, do this in remembrance of me. We participate in this meal with him. See, moving on from where Pastor Nicole was today in John chapter 6, eventually in that discourse, he says something that was really hard for people to hear. He said, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. It confused a lot of people. They didn't understand. Actually, the Bible says at that moment, there were many followers who deserted him. It was hard. He was getting them to this moment. Because participation with Jesus is receiving him in a way that, well, it's our salvation. But to understand what he has done for us, to participate in that, gives us the understanding of life. And truly what it means to follow him. Because you will give up all to have what he has, because that's abundant life. We partake and we participate. We remember. And in that, we learn how to live. That's what his calling is. So this morning, if you will open your cup and take the bread out. Jesus said at that Last Supper, at that Passover meal, this is my body given for you, the bread of life. And Lord, we thank you that you took our place on that cross. Jesus, your willingness to die for us. That wage of sin, which is death, that we all were under wrath for. Here comes the Lamb of God, the sinless sacrifice in our place. As the writer of Hebrews says, and that sacrifice, it's all sufficient. For you are making perfect those who are made holy in you. We thank you, Jesus, for that. And Lord, we partake today in worship and wonder and in awe of the God who became like us in order to save us. We thank you, Jesus. Let's partake of the bread together. The cup, the blood of Jesus. This is sufficient for you. You know, there's nothing else that you need. Nothing that you can do. But simply receive. The blood of Jesus, the fulfillment of all sacrifice, comes right here. For what can wash away my sins? Absolutely, positively nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. In this we believe, in this we stand, and in this we live. Amen. Lord, we thank you that your death on the cross, well, in that your blood was shed. And it covers all things. It covers everything. Blood shed means the newness of life we find in you. Lord, for so many times I've come and asked for forgiveness. So many times I've realized I've made a mistake. So many times I have known that I've fallen short. This blood has covered me. Thank you. For you are wonderful. Your works are so good. We partake today in remembrance of the fact that our sins are completely forgiven. Let's partake together. Now, if you would, just for a moment, I want you to thank Jesus from your heart for what he has done for you. Thank him for his sufficiency. Thank him for his love, his mercy, and his grace. Thank him for his patience. Thank him for the many times he received you back over and over and over again. Thank him, for he is good, and he is wonderful. And in that, he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And we worship him fully from our hearts today. We thank you, Jesus, for you are good. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just lift up your hands and just express your heart to him? Oh, Lord. Yes, Jesus. And Lord, we give up everything to follow you. We hold nothing back. All of who we are belongs to you, and you will show us abundant life. Thank you. Yes, Jesus. And Lord, as we go today, blessings on the house. Lord, we continue to grow in you. Continue to find our satisfaction in you. And Lord, you're the one who meets our needs beyond that. We thank you for that. Until we come together again this week, that in all we do, we simply glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. The prayer team will be down here at the front. They'd love to pray with you if you have need today, so come down and meet with them. If not, Wednesday night, we'll see you. Be blessed as you go today.
If you know we serve a faithful God, I need you to clap your hands.